The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Two Chairs No Waiting, episode number 750, top 10 episodes from imayberry.com. Two Chairs No Waiting is brought to you each week by the folks over at weaversdepartmentstore.com. They got some new stuff over there. Go and check it out. They got several brand new t-shirts. That's right. You can go and check out the t-shirts and show your Mayberry spirit. You got a Mayberry fan. You got a cool shirt that looks like a silhouette of a Mayberry squad car with the word Mayberry inside of it. You need to go and check it out. Another one with a Mayberry. We got a flag on the pocket and says Mayberry. Oh, it's just nice. Go and check it out and check out all the other great Mayberry items they have over at weaversdepartmentstore.com. Go and check it out. Two Chairs No Waiting is also brought to you by donations from listeners just like you. The executive producers for episode number 750, my goodness, is Terry Neiman, and the Patreon patron of the week for 750 is Bob and Pat Mundy. So thank you to all of them for supporting the show, and thank you for being here. 750 episodes. Woo! I need a clapping clap thing for that. I don't know, clapping soundtrack. Guys, it is hard to believe. I started this show back in, a long time ago, 2008, and we're up to 750 episodes of the podcast. And so, to kind of celebrate that, I don't know if I've ever done this. I probably have, and I don't recall. But I thought we would go over, as I said, the name of the podcast tonight, the top 10 episodes from imayberry.com and tagsrwc.com. That's the Andy Griffith Show, RerunWatchersClub.com. Those are sister sites. They're websites of Mayberry. So you guys have definitely seen the Mayberry websites before. We got the imayberry.com, which is what I'm always talking about. It's where our podcast is hosted. If you go to imayberry.com/podcasts, that's where twochairsnowaiting.com takes you. But there's a sister site that we've always had that's tagsrwc.com, which is the Andy Griffith Show, rerunwatchersclub.com. Years ago, more than you're going to want to know, there was two different versions of the site. The first version that was imayberry.com, it was actually hosted on a Windows server. Yeah, Windows. And I needed a Unix server to be able to run cool things like what we're going to play with tonight. So I had created tagsrwc.com as well. So those two sites are kind of just totally connected together. Because if you go to the imayberry.com site and then go to the sitemap, you'll be able to go to exactly where we're going tonight, which is we're going to go and check out the favorite episode poll that's located on tagsrwc.com. If you go there and scroll down toward the bottom of the page, you'd be able to cast your vote for your favorite episode of the Andy Griffith Show. That's right. So if you click it, it'll take you there. And every one of the 249 episodes of the Andy Griffith Show are listed on that page. And you can go through and pick your favorite. You can only do one. So folks have been voting on this particular list for years. I don't even remember exactly when I started the numbering for this particular poll, but folks have been able to go over there and vote for a number of years. And so, thus far, we have had 19,281 votes given. And so we're going to be going over our top 10 episodes of the Andy Griffith Show. I probably need music in the background for that, don't I? To do a little background music, because that sounds like a fun music to do. So we'll do this music. Ah, there we go. A little piano music. All right, guys, let's go through them. The top 10 episodes as voted by folks who visit the imayberry.com or the thsrwc.com. Our very first episode, well, our 10th episode, I should say, I guess, that we'll be going over tonight with 669 votes. Now, I should say, out of the 249 episodes, let me look. We have a lot of episodes with only one vote and a lot with two or three. So to have 669, even out of the 19,000, that's tough. So the number 10 episode with 3.5% of the vote is The Haunted House. That's an episode, if you guys all know this episode, it's where Gomer and the guys go into the haunted house. You know, Opie loses his baseball in the old Rimshaw place, and he's scared off by what he thinks are ghosts, and Andy sends out Barney to fetch the ball. Barney forces Gomer to go along with him, and they both get scared, and they believe there's ghosts, and Andy takes them back to the house. We know the whole story, right? And discovers the spooks are really... They're not tramps down the bay. Any old tramps down there? None down there. That they're moonshiners that have rigged up the house to keep people away. So that is our number 10 episode. And man, there are some really cool and fun things that happened in that episode with Gomer. It must be the lighting. It must just be the lighting. So folks, if you go to mayberry.info, it's just mayberry.info. You can go there, and it's the Mayberry Historical Society, and it's basically Wikipedia for Mayberry, and I run that, and there's some other folks have logged in and done stuff in these, but we have a complete episode list of every episode of the Andy Griffith Show, and Gomer Pyle, and we got lots of stuff like that listed there. So that is where the content that we're looking at you're hearing me tell about is here. So there's a few odd facts known about the Haunted House episode. This episode may have been the inspiration for the movie that Don Knotts made called The Ghost and Mr. Chicken. And it certainly brings to mind Don Knotts' performance in that movie, if not. And this is the only appearance by actor Nestor Pavel, who plays the moonshiner. His wife, Maxine, was once Howard Hughes' secretary. Boom. Stuff you'll never know. So that kind of stuff is what you'll find over at mayberry.info. Okay. All right. Number nine episode with 3.5% of the vote as well, with 673 votes. The previous episode had 669. This has got 673. It is... Barney's first car. Barney's first car. Well, I trust you, Mrs. Lesh. So Barney becomes Mr. Independent Wheels when he spends most of his savings on a used car, only to find out he's been taken by a bunco ring led by mastermind Mert Lesh. By coincidence, Andy and Barney nab the gang when the crooks mistakenly re-steal the same car with Andy and Barney in the back seat, as a matter of fact, which they think has been abandoned on the county roads. So that is our number nine episode when Barney, low mileage. I trust you, Mrs. Lesh. That's one of my favorite lines on there, I do believe. But let's see if there's any odd. So some odd facts known by a few about this episode is in the first season episode, Runaway Kid, Barney is seen driving a car other than the squad car. And Andy mentions Barney's car. So the title of the episode is misleading. Well, it's not really misleading, but it's definitely, that's one of the nuances of the Andy Griffith Show where it comes, you just get a little bit wrong. All right, so just after Barney says the line, "Don't look back, Mrs. Lesh," his and Andy's images are reversed or flopped, basically so they're facing the same direction as Mr. Lesh was walking. I've never even noticed that, I don't think. So check that out when you're watching the episode. You'll see if they flipped. You'll know that. So best known is Grandma Walton, actress Ellen Corby, was in the Hitchcock movie Vertigo. That's Mrs. Lesh. And even appeared in an episode of Batman entitled The Joker's Flying Saucer as Mrs. Green. I don't remember that one. Mrs. Corby also had an important role in the 1946 classic Frank Capra's It's a Wonderful Life. She played Mrs. Davis, the lady who requested $20 to help her get through the month, thereby staving off the run on the Bailey Building and Loan service. George Bailey immediately kisses her on the head. By deduction, she was only in her 30s in the 1946 movie. She, however, portrayed a lady that was twice that age, as was her style. So she was playing that. Actress Haleen Hill appeared in the movie The Ten Commandments. Now, Haleen Hill was who? I don't know who that was. Haleen Hill was Rose Temple. Oh, that was Rose. Rose Temple in that episode. So check it out, guys. So those are the things in Barney's first car. All right, so that's episode number 9. We're going to have to pick up the speed, aren't we? So number eight is Opie's Charity. Opie's Charity is number 8 with 681 votes, also at 3.5% of the total vote. So I'm sure there's percentages, 3.5%. But it is number 8 in our list of top 10 episodes as voted by the Rerun Watchers Club. Now, Opie's Charity is, Andy's embarrassed to learn that Opie has donated a measly sum of only 3 cents to the underprivileged children. You think I gave too much, Pa? To the underprivileged children's drive. Andy scolds Opie after learning he's saving money to buy his girlfriend a present. Later, Andy discovers Opie's true intention. His girlfriend is one of the underprivileged children, and he's buying her a winter coat because her mom doesn't have the money. What a great episode that one is. So some things you might not know about that one is one of the 3 episodes in which the Mayberry patrol car had a tag number of DC-269 rather than the usual license plate number of JL-327. There you go. Opie's Charity, Ellie Comes to Town, and Andy the Matchmaker are the 3 episodes where it has DC-269 as its tag. There you go, guys. Actor Stuart Irwin played Dagwood in the 1942 movie Blondie for Viceroy. Is that was a Victory? It must say Victory. It must say Blondie for Victory. But it says V-I-S-T-O-R-Y. I think somebody spelled something wrong there. So he played Tom Silby. That's Tom Silby is who they're talking about there. Laureen Tuttle, the actress playing Annabelle Silby, also appeared in the Andy Griffith Show episode The Shoplifter, which you would never recognize. It was the same lady as the shoplifting lady. It was her. Geographical inconsistency. It's stated by Annabelle that Andy and Andy both, that Tom Silby went down to Charlottesville and got run over by a taxi cab. If by Charlottesville, they were talking about Charlottesville, Virginia, that city lies 200 miles north of Mayberry, North Carolina, or Mount Airy. And so it should have been up to Charlottesville. There's a possibility there's Charlottesville, North Carolina. I'm not sure if that's true. But anyway, something to check out. So there you go. Episode number 7. Number 7 is 3 Wishes for Opie. So we know what happens in that one. Barney gets in trouble with Helen when he summons a 200-year-old spirit of Count István Teleki from the kit that he bought in an auction, and then spreads the rumor that Andy and Helen are going to get married. So we know, that old story. That was great. So an odd fact known on that one is on the day this episode aired, actor Ray Romano celebrated his 7th birthday. Baseball player Andy Van Slyth, Jacqueline Anduar, and Tom Hinkey also share this birthday. So there you go. A few things that happened on that day, which was December 21st, 1964. So that's when that was. So that was our number 7 episode with 708 votes, or 3.7% of the total vote. Next up is episode number six. Number six is Otis the Deputy. Otis the Deputy with 720 votes and 3.7% also percent of the vote. Otis the Deputy was filmed on December the 12th, or aired on December 12th, 1966. You'll remember the episode. It's when Andy is held hostage by a couple of escaped convicts, and Howard and Otis come to the rescue. Howard foils Andy's escape, however, and gets them both captured, leaving their fate in the hand of Otis. Even though he is a drunk and, you know, he suffers with it, so Otis somehow manages to stumble through and rescue them. Now, a couple of odd facts in that one, or a few. This was the last episode featuring Hal Smith as Otis. So there you go. And actor Joe Turkle was cast in the movie Blade Runner, but he cannot be seen in the final cut. All of his scenes as Dr. Eldon Terrell were cut. On some special editions of the movie, the DVD that featured deleted scenes, he does appear. Actor Charles, I can't say these guys' name, Durkalp, D-I-E-R-K-O-P, appeared as Killer Santa in the 1984 cult movie Silent Night, Deadly Night. So he played Larry in the previous mention. Joe Turkle was Fred in this particular episode. So Otis the Deputy comes in again at number six. Number five episode is Citizen's Arrest with 817 votes at 4.2%. And this is really a tie. So five and four are both, they're tied. This was aired on December the 16th, 1963. So far, wow, we've had a lot of episodes that aired around the Christmas time frame. Now, this episode, if you'll remember, Citizen's Arrest, Barney resigns and spends 5 days in jail after Gomer turns the tables and places him under Citizen's Arrest for a U-turn. Citizen's Arrest. Once Gomer finds out how serious the matter is, he reports a fictitious robbery at the filling station in hopes of pressing Barney back into the service. Of course, Pa said, just let him sleep. He made his bed, let him sleep. A few odd facts on this one. According to details in this episode, the events took place on a Wednesday, September 11th, 1963. When Barney pulls Gomer over for making an illegal U-turn and gets out of the squad car, if you're watching on a DVD version of this, it would be at 4 minutes and 11 seconds. The light on the squad car is turned off. The long conversation with Gomer about U-turns goes along with the crowd watching until Barney finishes lecturing Gomer and returns to the squad car at a time of 6 minutes and 40 seconds. And we see that the light on top, the beacon, is on. Times are from the DVDs episodes, season 4 DVDs. All right, this episode opens with Andy and Barney rummaging through some old files. Shortly, Andy discovers a record of the first pistol he issued Barney the day he swore him in as a deputy, and the date was August 1953. 10 years ago last month since I swore you in, said Andy. Interestingly, 23 episodes later, in episode 129, Barney's physical, they celebrated Barney's 5th anniversary as at the sheriff's office. So there's another little inconsistency for you. So again, that is tied basically for fourth because it's number five. But number four, which also got 817 votes, is Mr. McVeevy. So Mr. McVeevy aired in October the 1st in 1962. We know the hotel of Mr. McVeevy with a silver hat, has got 12 extra hands, can make smoke come out of his ears. He jingles when he walks, and he can walk in the trees, and he's got fingers on his, he's got bell rings on his fingers and bells on his toes. You know, the whole thing, nobody believes he's real, that whole story. So that's the Mr. McVeevy. You guys definitely know that one. So some odd facts about that particular episode. Veteran actor Carl Swanson, who was Mr. McVeevy, would team again with Ronnie Howard in 1974 episode of Happy Days entitled Richie's Car. When Barney is attempting to have Opie describe Mr. McBeebe, a stack of folders and files sits on Barney's desk. On the spine of one of the words is the hermit. On the spine of one are the words the hermit. So, I have to look for that. I've never looked for that. So good eyes. I wonder who put that in there. It could have been me. You never know. All right. So that was tied for number four. Those two. It was Barney's. It was Citizens Arrest and Mr. McBeebe tied for number four with 817 votes each. So we are to number three, ladies and gentlemen. So number three with 983 votes. So it's a big jump from 718 to 983 is Opie the Birdman, our number three episode of the Andy Griffith Show. Now, of course, Opie, in this episode is when Opie accidentally kills a mother bird with his new slingshot and takes it upon himself to raise the orphaned birds. After adopting them and naming them Winkin', Binkin', and Nod, Opie faces the difficult task of setting them free. Oh, boy, what a heart. Whew, boy, that one and Mr. McBeebe, which was the previous one, man, there's some tear-jerking moments in both of those. Where last episode, where Barney's or Opie's saying, "He is real. Don't you believe me, Pa?" Oh my goodness! And then, of course, in Opie the Birdman, when he actually kills the baby bird, there's only one odd fact about this one that we know of, and it's on the date this episode first aired. Actor Barry Williams from the Brady Bunch celebrated his 9th birthday. So there you go. He was 9 on that day, which was September 30th, 1963. So another nice thing about this one is directed by Dick Crenna, if you remember him from The Real McCoys, and written by Harvey Bullock. So there we are. Number three. Number two. Number two. Now, another big jump. They had 983 votes for number three. Number two has 1,535 votes. And it is A Man in a Hurry. A Man in a Hurry. Came on January the 14th, 1963. And it's, if you don't remember, Man in the Hurry is a big businessman, Malcolm Tucker, is stuck in Mayberry on the Sabbath, because it's on a Sunday, when his car breaks down just outside the city limits. He's soon driven to frustration when he finds there's no way to get anything done in this two-bit town until the following day. Can't do it on Sunday. After finally getting Gomer's cousin Goober to fix the car, Mr. Tucker gives in to the mood and decides to stay the night. So that's a great episode. Wow, it is really it's usually one of the favorites of Andy Griffith Show fans. So here's some odd facts about that one. On the date this episode first aired, director Steven Sonnenberg was born, whoever that is. I don't know that one. Interesting note that Malcolm Tucker winds up in Mayberry due to a broken car, needing Gomer and Goober. 3 years later, Willard Foster of Foster's Furniture Polish arrives the same way, played by the same actor, also needing Goober's help. The Foster ladies, Willard and Man in a Hurry, were both Robert Emhart, both the same actor. Mrs. Mendelbright, the Mendelbright sisters, Maud in Mayberry and Cora in Mount Pilot, tie up the phone for 3 to 4 hours every Sunday afternoon. Because it's a party line. That's why. This episode marks the first appearance on film of Jim Nabors as Gomer Pyle. But the episode didn't actually air January 1st, 1963, until after the episode The Bank Job, which was December 24th, 1962. So technically, The Bank Job is when Gomer first appeared on The Andy Griffith Show, even though this episode was filmed before that one. All right, finally, this episode marks the first appearance of William Keane as the Reverend Hobart Tucker. Hobart Tucker. Charlotte Tucker? All right. So that's his first appearance. All right, guys. So our number one episode, that was number two with 1,535 votes. Our number one episode with 1,544 votes, 8% of the total vote, is The Pickle Story. The Pickle Story, which aired December 18th, 1961, is written by Harvey Bullock. And if you don't remember what The Pickle Story is about, I can't believe it. It's canning time again, and Aunt Bee has put up another batch of pickles. And after realizing the only thing they're good for is, you know, killing flies, brave enough to land on them, Andy and Barney decide to substitute store-bought pickles for bad old homemade pickles and hand them out to hand out the old homemade pickles to travelers passing through Mayberry's. After switching them out, Aunt Bee decides to enter her pickles in the county fair because they were enjoying them so much. Unfortunately, potential winner Clara Johnson, Aunt Bee's best friend, has her heart set on winning her 12th blue ribbon in a row. Andy and Barney have no choice but to get rid of all 8 jars of the faked pickles. So Aunt Bee will make more pickles to enter into the county fair. They do their work proudly, and Aunt Bee decides that since the boys liked them so much, she'll make a double batch. The pickle story. Odd facts known by a few. It takes 2 or 3 months for pickles to set in a jar before they're ready to eat. So, you know, she couldn't have just made them and done that. Don Knotts stated various times that this was his favorite episode of the Andy Griffith Show. And based on the show's air date in 1961, Clara would have won her first pickle competition in 1949. So there you go. That's a little bit of history going backwards. So our favorite episode, The Pickle Story, is number one. So I hope you guys enjoyed that. That was kind of fun. I thought this would be a fun thing, a fun way for us to celebrate episode number 750. And another way to celebrate is some trivia. So everybody get your trivia pencil and paper. Get them out. Ours, our trivia music is ready to go. And we will play some Mayberry trivia. Now, this is going to be multiple choice. So if you guys are ready, here we go. Question number one. How many pounds of beef did Aunt Bee try to store in her old freezer? How many pounds of beef did Aunt Bee try to store in her old freezer? Was it 150 pounds, A, B, 100 pounds, or C, 130? How many pounds of beef did Aunt Bee try to store in her old freezer? Call the man. Was it A, 150, B, 100, or C, 130? So you can go ahead and give yourself a guess. Doesn't hurt to guess. You can have fun. Excuse me. The answer of how many pounds did she try to store? 150. That was A. So question number two. Folks in the chat room were getting it right. Question number two. The statue of Seth Taylor cost, how much did it cost? Did it cost A, $1,700, B, $1,500, or C, $1,200? The statue of Seth Taylor, how much did it cost? $1,700, A, B, $1,500, or C, $1,200? That's question number two. The answer is the statue of Seth Taylor cost. You can pause if you don't want to hear these answers. You can pause and listen to them. Think about it. The answer is C, $1,200. It was $1,200. C, $1,200. Question number three. How many documented cases of malfeasance did Barney have against Andy? How many documented cases of malfeasance did Barney have against Andy? Was it A, 76? Was it B, 49? Or was it C, 67? How many cases of malfeasance did Barney have against? Oh, I need to be careful because I'm wanting to give quotes and I might give an answer to something coming up. All right. How many documented cases of malfeasance did Barney have against Andy? The answer is A, 76 cases of malfeasance. There's no tear gas. okay. No submachine guns. All right, number four. Let's keep going. I love trivia questions. They just make me laugh. All right, number four. Barney bought Thelma Lou a fur stole that cost, was it A, $13.25? Was it B, $14.98? Or was it C, $9.95? Which was it? Barney bought Thelma Lou a fur stole. Was it A, $13.25? B, $14.98? Or C, $9.95? The answer... The answer is what? She's not worth 13 and a quarter? It's A. It's A. A is the answer. Good old Newton Monroe. Number five. Number five. According to Opie, the odds of bowling a 300 game like Howard did are 348,000 to 1. That's A. B, 500,000 to 1, or C, 1,000,000 to 1. So according to Opie, the odds of bowling a 300 game like Howard did, the odds are A, 348,000 to 1, B, 500,000 to 1, or C, 1,000,000 to 1. 1,000,000 to 1. The answer is A, 348,000 to 1 is the odds of bowling a 300 game. That's number five. All right, number six. Number six. After Goober bought the gas station, he pumped how many gallons of gas per week? After Goober bought the gas station, he pumped how many gallons of gas per week? Was it A, 65? Was it B, 100? Or was it C, 80? How many gallons of gas did Goober pump per week? Was it 65, 100, or 80? A, B, or C? The answer of how many gallons of gas did he pump per week is C, 80. 80. 80 gallons a week. Whew, that's pretty good. All right, number seven. Number seven. Warren Ferguson graduated from Sheriff's Academy, A, first in his class, B, second in his class, or C, fourth in his class. Warren Ferguson graduated from Sheriff's Academy, A, first in his class, B, second in his class, or C, fourth in his class. The answer, Warren Ferguson graduated from Sheriff's Academy. Yeah, fourth in his class. Yeah, fourth in his class. He was C, fourth in his class. All right. Number eight. Number eight. Aunt B took how many flying lessons before she was ready to solo? Well, that's a color episode. We're in the colors here, a couple of them. How many, or Aunt B took how many flying lessons before she was ready to solo? Was it A, 11, B, 15, or C, 18? Aunt B took how many flying lessons before she was ready to solo? 11, 15, or 18? A, B, or C? The answer is 11. She took 11 flying lessons. All right, number nine. We got two more questions here. Number nine, Emmett sold Goober an insurance policy costing, how much did it cost? So Emmett Clark sold Goober an insurance policy costing A, $8 a month, B, $9 a month, or C, $10 a month. So Emmett sold Goober an insurance policy costing $8 a month, $9 a month, or $10 a month. That's A, B, or C. Which was it? The answer is $9 a month. B. B is the answer. And our final question for this episode, number 10, when Wilbur French was in Mayberry, how many pairs of shoes did he sell? When Wilbur French, was in Mayberry, I'm a shoe salesman. How many pairs of shoes did he sell? Was it A, 67 pairs of shoes? Was it B, 57 pairs of shoes? Or was it C, 42 pairs of shoes? Wilbert Finch was in Mayberry. And when he was in Mayberry, how many pairs of shoes did he say? Oh, shoes. My boy, plays a saxophone, he does. All right, when he was in there, how many pairs of shoes did he sell? Was it 67, 57, or 42 pairs, A, B, or C? The answer is A, 67 pairs of shoes. Best he had ever done. Yeah, it's the best he had ever done. All right, guys, so how did you do? How did you do? Did you have fun at least? Those are fun to me. Wilbur Finch, Mr. Finch, he sold 67 pairs of shoes. Wow. So, guys, hey, I want to thank all of you that are here with me at this point in the podcast. 750 episodes is a lot, and many of you have listened to all or most of the episodes, and I am humbled by that. That's a lot. So we're going to be having our year anniversary, whatever year that would be, from 2008 until this year. Is that 15? I don't remember. In October. So I didn't do a whole lot for this episode, but you know, next year our 800th episode will be somewhere around Mayberry Days, I think, you know, within a week or so of Mayberry Days. So, wow. If that's, of course, everything goes well and we can keep doing them for another year, I have no reason not to believe that. I seem to be able to keep coming up with things to talk to you about because I love the show and I always have. And I really do appreciate all of you who, enjoy the show as much as me and enjoy being here for the podcast and just have listened to me ramble on and talk about our favorite hometown all these years. We've got our favorite episodes. We've got our trivia that we enjoy. And I do it all the time. I love it. My life kind of rolls around Mayberry. It seems like everything always turns into some kind of a Mayberry conversation wherever I am. And I think many of you are that way as well. And sometimes the people we're talking to don't even realize that it's a Mayberry conversation, but I do, and we do. So I'm thankful to have you as somebody I can talk to every week that do pick up on all those Mayberry conversations that I have in my own head. And you join in with me. I want to thank you for that. And just thank you for all the time you spent and support you've given me over the years doing not only the podcast, but being Floyd at these Mayberry events. It's very kind of you. And I truly am grateful. So thank you so much. So, folks, I would love to hear from you. You can give me a call at 888-684-8415. We got some comments last week. We'll probably be playing those next week. So thanks to all of you that have sent in some things. I've got some stuff. We'll be hearing from some of you guys, I believe, next week. And, again, you got a chance, 888-684-8415, or you can email me at floyd@imayberry.com. I want to thank all our patrons and everybody that helps out with the podcast, either through Patreon or PayPal donations or through the Mayberry meetup. Folks were given donations during the meetup, and it's just, it's so kind of you all for all that you do. So thank you. Thank you so much. Folks, until next time, we'll see you right here on Two Chairs. Good night, everybody.